Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. We are on episode number
99.
Wow, ladies, wow. Almost 100.
Woo-hoo. 99 episodes. Honestly, when I first started this with y'all, I didn't think we'd get past like a couple episodes, but we're on 99 episodes.
She had
ladies.
Such faith from the beginning.
I know.
My name is Shyama Sangeeta.
My name is Priyadarshini.
And I am Shyamali, and we are the Modern Yogi Podcast.
The Modern Yogi Podcast.
The Modern Yogi Podcast. And you can follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
Yeah, Modern Yogi Podcast.
Are we really doing that?
No, Modern Yogi okay. Podcast. We're done. We're done.
No, but also, we've been getting a lot of DMs actually on our Instagram of people just asking for random things. Like, we got a DM the other day asking us like what is in scripture that is talking about like women and like ISKCON and like that stuff. And so like there's a specific episode for that now, episode 74, right? And then there was another person asking about like how we found our gurus, and like that was episode, I don't know, 24 or whatever it was. I can't remember what it was, but it's like people are asking for certain things, and now we have dedicated episodes for to answer that question.
Amazing.
That's really cool.
Look at you connecting it all.
Yeah. It is good. So please, if you have a question about anything in the Gita or anything in spiritual life that you want to ask, and maybe you're shy, you could just send us a DM, right?
Yeah.
We will address it either personally or on the air, whatever you feel comfortable with. Mostly in the DMs. But yeah, ask us questions because it's fun. And if you have comments, we welcome those as well.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Not the troll comments, but we the nice comments. Those are nice. Yeah.
Very nice.
All right. So we are on chapter 12, text number 8. Quick recap of the last episode.
Oh, yes.
Let's not all go at once.
I just had to think for a second.
Well, we're on the chapter called Devotional Service. So Shyama, take it away.
All right. So Krishna is doubling down and says, okay, if you want to worship the impersonal form of me, it is going to be very, very difficult for you. But those who worship Krishna directly and engage in devotional service and meditate on Krishna and focus their mind on Krishna, he is the deliverer of ocean and
of
death.
Them.
They're what?
Deliverer of them?
Nailed
deliverer.
It.
The swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death.
I got you.
That's what I said.
He's basically saying he'll come personally to save you, to deliver you at the end, which is such a sweet thought. Krishna really takes personal interest in his devotees.
If you are drowning in this material ocean, Krishna is the divine coast guard that is save you from the rat race of life.
Yeah.
Wee, 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 wee.
Wee, wee,
now I'm going to think of Krishna when I hear that.
And basically that this material ocean, and I like how in the last episode you clarified material ocean. We're not picturing bright sunny day in California swimming in a nice ocean.
Right.
But is the only way not to drown from the waves of adversities that life throws your way is to be spiritually connected. Because then we see that life is happening for us and not to us. And like we said, Keshav Swami talks about this whole difference in having a spiritual perspective. And that's why we need to be spiritually connected. And we talked about a sense of urgency that you also beautifully capture, that sense of urgency of structuring your material life to connect to deeper in your spiritual life. And you, Priya, also beautifully capture, no matter what destination I go to, I just want to serve Krishna. So these are all things we can strive for.
Ooh.
Very lovely
well
summary.
Well put together.
Okay.
Sometimes I come through and not have laughing attacks.
All right, please, the invocation, ladies.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. All right, chapter 12, text number 8, Priyadarshini.
Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus, you will live in me always, without a doubt.
Beautiful. The last line, you will live in me always.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Krishna will always carry us. It sounds like almost like a love letter to a deep, deep, intimate, whatever, lover, friend, person.
Yeah, there's this line in the purport that I love. A devotee does not live on the material plane. He lives in Krishna.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Yeah, one who is engaged in Lord Krishna's devotional service, they say, lives in a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord. So our position is always transcendental from the very beginning. So no matter what ups and downs and twists and turns of life, we're eternally going to be connected to Krishna. That's our eternal position. Krishna's always with us.
And how do we fix our mind upon Krishna? Let's do one word round robin.
What do you mean?
How do we how do we fix our mind? Just like one verb. Chanting. Hearing.
Reading.
Oh, are we just going to keep going?
Oh.
Singing.
Yeah, singing. Remembering.
Dancing.
Listening.
Offering prasad.
Praying.
Cleaning.
Going to the market and buying eatables.
That's not one word.
The game is over.
Sounds like edibles. But it says eatables. Prabhupada says eatables in the purport. Eatables are things that you can eat, not edibles. Just want to make that very clear.
I think they're both said the same way.
Eatables and edibles, those are two very different things. Edibles are not.
Priya's like, I love edibles. I always have edibles. I had one earlier today.
Wait, are they actually pronounced differently?
It's just that edibles are...
No, I know.
Okay. Do you know what edibles are?
Yes, but the word itself, without different connotation, which has now been given, means maybe anything that you eat. So I was wondering...
Asta is our minds that are in the gutters.
No. Prabhupada says eatables. Edibles is with an I, eatables is with an
true.
A.
That's
so they
true.
Are two different things.
But is the pronunciation different? Is what I'm asking.
Eatables and edibles.
Okay, I give up.
Well, anyways, all of those ways are the ways that you can remember Krishna, and that is the point of this conversation.
Very cool.
And right after the eatables part, before filming, the girls had talked about what a cool word that Prabhupada uses, Krishnized, right?
Mm-hmm. Can you read the sentence? Yeah.
Yeah. When he offers Krishna food, Krishna directly accepts these eatables and the devotee becomes Krishnized by eating the remnants.
Nice.
So for someone who has no idea what that sentence even means, how would you break it down?
So when... Okay.
No, go. You're okay. Ready.
So when you want to develop a relationship with Krishna and you... what we do is we offer our food, everything that we eat or drink, we offer it to Krishna as kind of like a thank you. It's like, thank you, Krishna, for giving me all of these beautiful eatables, and I am going to offer them to you. So I usually like have a different plate for Krishna, a different spoon for Krishna, a different glass for Krishna. And then when you first make something, you just take a portion of it before you eat it, before you taste it, you give it to Krishna first. So he has the first taste, and then you offer prayers from your whole heart and ask him to accept it. And then once he's done eating, right, you can give him a couple of minutes.
Or it's quick.
But if it's a larger portion, give him a couple more minutes, right?
Yeah.
Right? And then once he's eaten, you can ring the bell, and whatever you take back, that is now offered, right? So it's prasad, which means it's sanctified food. Yeah. And that means that Krishna has enjoyed it and now you can enjoy it.
Yeah. And one extra thing, I was having a conversation the other day with a friend who was asking me about the process of offering. And she had thought like, right, it's mainly to think about Krishna, right? And I was like, yeah, but the cool part also, there's another purpose to it that is like to take away all the karma from eating that food. Because like it or not, there's a whole back process of it takes resources, it takes energy. We're basically offering in gratitude so we get out of this cycle of good and bad karma, because we know that we all are vegetarians. And even though like, okay, eating meat is obviously the animal suffering, but eating plants also
creates suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the plant has a certain level of consciousness, even though it doesn't have as many pain receptors, let's say, as an animal's body. It does take their life. The philosophy is there's a soul in everything and everyone, even the plants. So vegetables, whatever food, plant-based sources that we eat, we're trying to eliminate that element of karma also there by offering it first to Krishna, because it does take a certain amount of resources and their lives also.
Yeah. So when we offer it to Krishna, that karma essentially neutralizes,
exactly,
right? That bad karma.
Maybe there's someone that might be like, well, if you're not going to eat animals, you eat plants also that have lives.
But Prabhupada makes a point about that. And he says, we're not vegetarian, we're Krishnatarian. We eat things that Krishna eats.
Yeah.
Because it's not really, because like you're saying, right? Like plants also are living entities because they're living, right? And therefore they have the capacity to feel some degree of pain. Like you said, not as much. And so therefore we are still actually including karma.
Yeah.
And so it's more about saying to Krishna, well, first of all, thank you so much for providing this, you know, wonderful food.
Right.
And also like, please help me remove the karma from this.
Yeah. Because obviously we know it's not the same as eating an animal, but still.
Right.
So please offer your eatables and your edibles to Krishna.
Okay.
Everything is Krishna.
Very nice.
Take all the karma away.
Take all the karma away.
From both. Anywho.
One more part of the purport I just want to say. One thing and then another thing that made me think of you, Priya. So the first thing is the line that says the holy name of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. And if you follow us on Instagram, there was an interview posted on our Modern Yogi podcast with Madhava, the Kirtaniya, and he says that line. We have to know that the Lord's name and his form are non-different. So he connects that to really being attentive in our listening whenever we've talked about kirtan or chanting japa. It's nice to think, yeah, if the name is really non-different from Krishna, when I'm calling his name, it's like I'm picking up the transcendental phone and calling Krishna. And how, in a way, rude is it if I'm not going to be attentive? It's like I go knocking on your door and wanting to hang out with a friend. And when they open the door, you're in all places but present there with them, you know? So we don't often think of it in that way. So if we don't feel a connection, instead of thinking, this isn't for me, this whole Krishna consciousness thing, think, okay, what am I doing to not really connect? Mm. There are those, the 10 offenses that we might've talked about or not, but offenses you can commit to the holy name. So this line, which says the holy name and the Lord are non-different, really hones in on that when we're going to call Krishna's name, he's coming there to you. Try to give him your attention. Mm. And the next and last thing I have to say.
I love that. Just wanted to say that. Yeah, it's that really lovely, nice. Sen.
Yeah. Take a second to enjoy that. That was great.
Yeah. It was great what he said. Yeah. So after he said that, every time I chanted, I really tried to like bring my mind back. And the mind's going to wander, but trying to bring it back like, no, Krishna's just in front of me, watching me. So now what? I have his attention. I've called his name. He's there. Now give him your attention.
Yeah, that reminded me of Jayadutta Maharaj there was a Mantra House program, which is like a university program and whatever. Mm. And he said, whenever the mind goes, because it is fickle and not fixed on whatever it is, just bring it back under self-control. Yeah. Like just keep bringing it back. It's going to happen. The mind is fickle and just keep bringing it back.
Yep.
And I thought that's so true. And it's like so much grace to understand that it's going to happen. And then And that happens even with conversations with friends. Oh, you might be talking to someone and then you start zoning out. You think, oh my God, tomorrow I have to do this and I have to do that. And you're like, wait, I'm in a conversation with my friend. I have to pay attention. Okay. Yes. I'm listening. Tomorrow I have to, and you know, like, just bring it back. Right. Like that's kind of the gist of any relationship.
Yeah. I think that bringing it back is so important. One time a meditation teacher was teaching, like when you're breathing and you're trying to focus on something, your mind's going to wander. But if you bring it back, and every time you bring it back, you think that you're failing because you keep wandering. But like, if you are aware that your mind's wandering from Krishna, but you bring it back. He said it's kind of like doing a bicep curl for the mind because it makes the mind stronger and stronger and stronger the moment you realize and then you bring it back. Yeah. So the more that you do that, the mind gets stronger.
Absolutely. It is like a formula. Like Madhava Prabhu said that we bring all this baggage, all these things from life after life after life. So of course, like you say, Jayadvaita Maharaj says it's going to wander. We've been in this rat race for longer than we even remember. Mm. So we have all this baggage. So step one is like, let go. And then step two, really let Krishna in and also try to be honest with what offenses am I possibly making that's going to keep me disconnected from his name? Because the names are perfect. It's Krishna. So if I'm not feeling that connection, maybe I'm doing something wrong. So take a look at myself and what can I do to cleanse myself?
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing is just, we talked about this before, Priya, because it said, the names are non-different. Therefore, when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, Krishna and his internal potencies are dancing on the tongue of the devotee. So Priya had once said that she washes her mouth before chanting because Krishna is there dancing on your tongue. And I thought, interesting. All right. So I started doing that. And it's just a cute little meditation to bring it more present. Like, if Krishna and his names are truly non-different, you might say, meditation and chanting is just lifting your consciousness with these good vibes. But the deeper in you go, no, the Lord is actually dancing on my tongue in his physical form. Of course, I need to wash my mouth. So anyway.
I love that.
Yeah. Cool. Alrighty. Text 9, Shama Sangeeta.
Yes. So Krishna is saying, my dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. Mm. In this way, develop a desire to attain me.
Okay. Beautiful.
I'm excited.
The purport has a lot. Shall we dive in?
Yeah. Also, this is the beginning of Krishna saying, if you can do this, awesome. But if you cannot, here's what else you could do.
Right.
And if you can do that, then here's what else you can do. And he kind of goes in order. So this is kind of an exciting next couple of texts.
Right. Right. Exactly. This starts a whole sliding scale. If you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this, do that.
Right. So the beginning, it says, in this verse, two different processes of bhakti yoga are indicated. The first applies to one who has actually developed an attachment for Krishna by transcendental love. And the other is one who has, for one who has not developed an attachment for the Supreme by transcendental love.
Mm.
For this second class, there are different prescribed rules and regulations one can follow to be ultimately elevated to the stage of attachment to Krishna.
Right.
So he's basically saying, if you don't already naturally have love of Krishna,
right,
that's okay. There's a process. It's the Bhakti Yoga process. And that process can get you to a place where you feel an attachment for Krishna and therefore develop love.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Because it talks about further Bhakti Yoga. Okay. It's the purification of the senses. We all know that at this moment in time, our material senses, they're going to be impure. They're covered over. They're engaged in different sense gratifications. I want to please me, myself, and my senses. But the practice of bhakti yoga means that the senses can become purified. And once they're in that purified state, then they can come in contact with the Supreme Lord. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if we're not already feeling transcendental love of him, we need to purify a little bit our senses.
Mm. Can we talk about the regulative principles of bhakti yoga?
Yeah.
Like, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
All right.
You want to go for it?
No, sure. To practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, one should, under guidance of an expert spiritual master, follow certain principles. Mm. Okay, here's the list, okay?
Okay.
One should rise early in the morning, mm-hmm. take bath, enter the temple and offer prayers and chant Hare Krishna, then collect flowers to offer to the deity, cook foodstuffs or eatables to offer to the deity, take prasad and so on.
Okay.
And it keeps going. There are various rules and regulations. One should constantly hear. So it keeps going to a few more details. One should constantly hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees.
Mm.
This practice can help anyone rise to the level of love of God.
Yeah.
So if you wake up early, take a bath, go to the temple, offer prayers, chant your japa, collect flowers to offer to Krishna, cook some food and offer it to Krishna, take some of that food and hear the Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you are on your way to develop that love for Krishna.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And it seems simple enough, right? And you don't have to go to an actual temple. If you have a temple in your home, mm-hmm. you can go to that temple in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is we're not trying to cultivate something that's not already within us. That love of Krishna is already in our hearts. We're just trying to like they say oftentimes in this movement, they say we're trying to polish or clean the mirror so that it can shine or reflect what's already there. Prabhupada says this love of God is now in a dormant state in all of our hearts. And there's love of God that manifests in different ways, but it's contaminated by material association. So our little spark of Krishna, our souls, it is pure, but it comes into contact with this material world and becomes inevitably covered over and conditioned. Mm-hmm. So now that's why we're saying the heart has to be purified of this contact with the material nature so that that dormant natural love can be revived. And that is basically this whole process. So that to me is a comforting thought. We're not trying to seek what's outside us. We're trying to uncover what's already there naturally, so naturally within us.
You don't have to be anybody else but you. Like it's already there. You don't have to change your whole personality. You just have to kind of like open up yourself a little bit more at a time until you really love Krishna, right? It's like, it's a process and it takes some time. So basically, so if I understand correctly, Krishna has started. He says, all right, here's the thing. If you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then do these regulative principles and you will get to that place of attachment and love for me.
Mm.
Right? So that's kind of potentially what we're striving to do, right? I mean, I want to say that we're probably a little further in the line of where we're at trying to get to Krishna. But the idea is that like having our minds fixed upon Krishna without deviation is really hard. Like we're going to, we talked about the last episode about spending one whole day just speaking about Krishna, right?
Yeah.
Like even that is a challenge because of how our lives work and how much Maya is in them. So Krishna's like, but it's okay. Just follow the regulative principles.
Yeah. And it's so nice because how you say regulative principles, that sounds so rigid. The regulative principles, but those principles are to lead you to love. Like it's to lead you to a deep feeling.
Yeah.
And I just love how it's Prabhupada says that in this material existence, I might be engaged in serving some master. So think of any job you have, you're going to have a boss. And I don't really serve that boss or that master lovingly. I just simply serve to get some money. And it also the master is not like lovingly engaged with me. They're just paying me. It's a transaction. Back and forth. So there's no question of love, Prabhupada says. But in spiritual life, one must be elevated to the pure stage of love, which can only be achieved by devotional service performed with, the keyword is present senses. So the path of bhakti is to make our senses really present and pure to be able to receive and feel the love that's naturally there.
Yeah, and it's the sort of comparison of serving someone who loves you back versus mm-hmm. serving this material nature that doesn't really love us back.
Absolutely. And we're going to be serving something, whether it's Maya or Krishna, as we talked about in the last
episode. Might as well serve Krishna. And what's interesting is like, it's like one additional step. Like these things are like basic things, but it's like one additional step to Krishnaize it, right? Like,
absolutely.
Like we are already going to wake up, right? Now it's just like wake up a little bit earlier when it's like more conducive to your spiritual life, right? Like we're already going to take a shower in the morning, right? Hopefully, right? But like do it with the mindset of like, okay, I want to be clean so that I can serve Krishna. Right. Mm-hmm. We're already going to eat food and make food. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, what's that additional extra magical step? It's like, okay, before I eat the food, let me just offer it. That one extra step, right? I was already going to go to Trader Joe's to buy some flowers for my house. Why don't I just offer it to Krishna first, you know? Right. And so like, it's just that one additional magical step.
That's such a good point. Yeah.
But also to give sort of the other side, I think because we have talked about how there's so much depression and anxiety in the world, sometimes it is really hard to do even the simplest of things. And it is hard to know what we are to do with our lives, right? Yeah. Like sometimes people are, you know, like they're struggling so much, they're sleeping all day long or they don't take a shower for a couple of days. And like, that's the capacity that they can. This is not a matter of judgment, but rather of like the difficulty and the struggle of this material world.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I think also when struggling with those things, just take one of these things at a time. Just try to start waking up early. It will help your mental health. If you're struggling in any capacity, like because of mental health, just doing one of these things for like a week, right?
Yeah.
See how you feel. See how it changes you. If you feel better, okay, take up two of the things. Yeah. And then see how you feel. All of these principles actually help us in this material world. They help us be more healthy, more conscious of what's happening in our lives, happier. In general, all of these things make our lives better and make us better people.
Yeah.
So even if you're not at the point where you can say like, well, I'm doing this for Krishna or whatever, like you can do this for your own well-being and for your own development, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you set us up for the next text because even if you can't do that, do this. And that's going to continue on the next text.
Amazing. All right, text 10.
Okay. Krishna says, if you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me. Because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage.
Ooh.
That's great.
You know what I love about all of these? These are all loopholes.
They're all right? loopholes.
If you can't do this, then do this. If you can't do this, then do this. And then this is the bare minimum. And then this is the bare minimum. And I kind of love doing the bare minimum. It's great.
Yeah. It's true. Like, absolutely what you were saying, Priya, at the end applies to this. It's hard. Life is really hard. And sometimes we can't do all of these things. Sometimes people have a hard time even waking up. And Krishna's like, it's okay. I understand life is hard.
Yeah. I also think it's funny because Shama just said that she loves loopholes, right? And she loves doing the bare minimum thing. Is that what you said? Yeah. Quoted you correctly?
Yeah, yeah. You did quote me correctly.
Well, I feel like by doing sort of the quote unquote bare minimum, you've gradually actually started doing a lot more than the bare minimum. And that's all it takes, right? You start at the bare minimum and then you kind of, oh, I can do a little more. That's the bare minimum of what I can do now. And now that's the bare minimum. And slowly you kind of increment the capacity that you have for what quote unquote bare minimum is.
Oh, absolutely. Because Shama makes jokes, but if you actually hear her whole life, she's doing a lot of quote unquote bare minimum and she's doing far out things.
100%.
You're so crazy.
So she makes jokes, but she wakes up early and does all kinds of crazy things. Anyways, that's where it starts, right? Start at the bare minimum of whatever capacity you have. When you master that, you'll be able to do another level of bare minimum and slowly you race in that ladder, right?
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Basically, Prabhupada says that you can still reach the perfectional stage by working for Krishna. And I think what working for Krishna is kind of like, well, he says, we've already explained this in the fifth 55th verse of the 11th chapter. Well, don't remember what verse that was, but basically he's saying one should, yes, here it is. Even if we can't directly practice the regulative principles, we can try to help such work. So for example, there's going to be, just as a business requires a place to stay, some capital to use, some labor, organizations to expand, all the logistical things, so does serving Krishna. You know, if you want to, for example, if you want to organize a nice kirtan program, you're going to need some resources to make, let's say, prasadam, food to hand out. You're going to need a space or whatever resource it takes. Even if you don't have the energy to fully dive into, I'm going to do my own projects and chant all day, you can assist a little bit in someone who is maybe doing nice preaching programs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Prabhupada says, if you can't do these processes, help in the propagation of Krishna consciousness. Mm. Propagation, if you think of it as a plant, it just means help the growth, right?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. To propagate. Oh, that's a good way to say it.
So to help the growth of Krishna consciousness can be in any kind of form, right? We can spread, like maybe you're really interested in giving food to shelters or whatever, right? So you'd go to the temple and you say, can I donate some money so that prasadam can be given to shelters or this or that. Mm. Whatever capacity, whatever interest you have, you can serve in that capacity. If it isn't money, like Prabhupada here is saying, it doesn't just have to be capital, like which means money, or it could be like that you're a very good organizer and you can say, please put me to service. I want to help in this capacity. And then somebody will put you in, and then you can use your energy or labor. Maybe you are very good at gardening or this or that, whatever it might be, like whatever you can do. If it is not, if you cannot focus in the regulative principles in that way, then put yourself into action in some capacity to help the growth of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. Mm. And if you don't know where to start, you can donate to our GoFundMe. Yogi Podcast GoFundMe. We need some camera equipment and stuff is breaking down. So please donate to our GoFundMe. The link is in bio in our Instagram.
And it is supported by chapter 12, text 10.
Yes. Also, to be clear, it's not only that our equipment is falling apart or anything like that. There are pieces here and there that are breaking because this is like 15-year-old equipment my husband happened to have. But also we have monthly costs
like
to
the
uphold.
Editing software.
We have monthly, so to upkeep the podcast, it needs to run on a server, on a thing, on a blah, 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 things that we don't fully understand. But we have monthly costs. And so we're trying to see if we can upkeep this for as long as we need to. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that's what you're donating for us to continue doing the service. But
you can find our GoFundMe link at the link in bio on our Instagram, $5, $10. And if you donate $108, you get a free Modern Yogi Podcast hat or beanie.
Did you say LinkedIn bio?
Sorry, it's the link in bio.
Link in the bio.
In the bio Instagram. All right, that's enough fundraising.
And Prabhupada really says that you're already going to be doing this work and to maintain your life day to day. But the only difference when you do it for Krishna is that you're not going to just be working for your own senses and for your own pleasure. But as it says in the text, you'll be doing a little work for Krishna.
Yeah. And he also says, if money is a thing that you can donate whatever you can. Mm. But if you can't donate too much money, just a percentage, whatever percentage you can, right? Like it is about your capacity, but it's a way to kind of be connected to Krishna in some capacity, right? And that will slowly bring you closer to all the other steps.
Right. Like you said, it can be money or you don't have that. It can be your time or your organization skills, whatever it is to help propagate or help it bloom.
Yes.
Propagate. All right. Shamali, anything else for this? Priya, anything else?
We got it. Let's move on.
Let's go. Priya Darshini, text 11.
Oh, wow. If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all results of your work and try to be self-situated.
Ooh, this reminds me a little bit of, I think it was chapter 2, Karma Yoga, right? Mm. Doing like work in the material world, but trying to transform internally your mindset so that you're doing karma yoga instead of just whatever, working for your own.
So I don't get it. How is this different than the last one?
No, I got you. Okay. So actually what you're saying, Shamali, applies more to the previous one, right? Because it was putting your work, which is karma, into Krishna. So whatever work you do, whether it's the money of it or your activities of it. In this case, Prabhupada is saying this. It might be that one is unable to even sympathize with the activities of Krishna consciousness because of social, familial, or religious considerations, or because of some other impediments. Hmm. If one attaches himself directly to the activities of Krishna consciousness, there may be objections from family members or so many other difficulties. So let's say, I mean, does that make sense so far?
So if your family thinks that you joined a cult and does not want to support your Krishna conscious activities.
Yes.
Then
let's say that. Okay. So it says for one such who for one who has such a problem, it is advised that he sacrifice the accumulated results of his activities to some good cause. So this is not directly connected to Krishna, but then you can give it to any good cause.
Right.
It says such procedures are described in the Vedic rules. So some of these things are kind of, for example, give charity to some hospital or some other social institutions.
Interesting.
So this is no longer necessarily tied to Krishna. Right. This is just the being charitable.
The goodness, like you're contributing towards the wellness of humanity.
Yes.
The way I first interpreted this was that the reason I thought it was karma yoga was that, oh, here you're not even able to contribute something, but you can just transform yourself internally. But it makes more sense that it's also just giving in charity, even if it's not directly Krishna consciousness.
Yes, yes. And so it says, in that respect, social service, community service, national service, sacrifice for one's country, etc., may be accepted so that someday one may come to the stage of pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord.
Wow.
I think this verse, when itself, like the fact that it says try to be self-situated, it also means developing a sense of selflessness and service to others.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
So like just not, like if you're living solely for yourself and your own sense gratification, that's not what this is. You have to be dedicating, like you have to be helping humanity in some way.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be Krishna conscious.
If you cannot do it in a Krishna conscious way, then just be charitable and serve someone in a positive, selfless way.
I like this.
Yeah. Because do that because this line, and this is actually the line that made me think a little bit of karma yoga, transforming your internals. It said, it's recommended here to do what you just said, give at least in charity, or even if you're not interested at all in activities of Krishna consciousness, because by doing that, you're giving up the fruits of your activities, and then you're sure to purify your mind gradually. And in that purified state of mind, then you're able to understand Krishna consciousness. And that, I guess, has an overlap. Karma yoga is all about transforming your internal. So here it's kind of step by step. You give to a good cause, give to some charity, even if you're not interested or can't circumstantially give to Krishna consciousness. And that in turn will purify a little your mind. And then you'll be able to understand deeper Krishna consciousness. So it's all like taking
one step at a time. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other aspect of this is what Prabhupada is saying is that if you work and some of that money, at least some of the money is given to charity, your consciousness is already higher. Mm-hmm. If all the money you make is going back to, oh, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy that, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to spend money here, I'm going to spend money there.
Right.
Like, where is your consciousness really at?
Totally.
But when you have the capacity to give to others, your consciousness is already elevating. If you have the capacity to give to others, then you start thinking, it's just a path, right? As you were saying.
Right.
And so that's the big difference. The difference is that karma yoga is directly connected to Krishna consciousness. And so, but yeah, this is so cool. Krishna's like, if you can do this, you do this, right?
It literally, like, Krishna is so sweet where he like literally will take himself out of the equation and just be like, don't even worry about me. Just do good for other people. That is still okay.
Yeah.
You know, that how selfless is Krishna, you know?
Yeah.
Not everything is about him and he's cool with that. And he's like, just do good for other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then the next one is even better. So you want to go for it, Shama?
Yeah, sure. This is chapter 12, text number 12.
12.
Yeah. All right. If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation. And better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind.
Okay.
What does that mean?
So I got you. So this is what I understand from it, and you guys can add your own thing. So let's say that in this case, maybe you don't have the means to donate your money.
Yeah.
Or even your time. Maybe you don't have the capacity to follow the regulative principles because you're not really there in that Krishna conscious space. Mm-hmm. Here, I think what Krishna is saying is like, get knowledge, all kinds of knowledge. The more knowledge, the more you seek, the more you'll find. Mm-hmm. And the more you look and introspect into what's happening in the world or yourself, the more you will likely to find meditation. Once you find meditation, then meditation will lead you to understanding that, hey, I should not be attached to the fruit of my actions.
Yeah.
That will lead you to maybe giving in charity or all of that. As you start giving in charity, you might even go to karma yoga, which is how can I use my work or my skills or whatever I have to serve Krishna? And then slowly that will get you to Krishna.
Wow.
What a good summary. Absolutely. Wow. That covered big paragraph of the purport. Yeah. Yeah.
It's literally like he's giving us this ladder, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like if you are just coming from like no knowledge about spirituality, just try to have the lens of getting more knowledge, right? And then you can do this, and then you can do this, then you can do this. But it's okay if you can't do these, then just go back down one step in the ladder and then work your way back up.
Yeah. Honestly, Krishna blows my mind every time we do this podcast. I've read this before and it just hits different now.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, oh, wow. Like Krishna... I'm always so hard on myself saying like, no, I got to do the most. I'm not doing enough service. I'm not doing enough this. I'm not doing enough that. And Krishna's like, chill. Look at this ladder I have. Like you're already doing okay. Just slowly keep going and keep, you know, progressing slowly.
Oh, I love this. Oh. You know what's so beautiful? It's like Krishna's like this beautiful therapist that like meets you where you're at.
Totally.
You
know,
he meets you where you're at and he just encourages you to do what you can do. And if you could do a little bit more, great. Mm. If you can't, that's okay. That's right. That's right.
And just to continue the visual, these stepping stones are under, as mentioned in the previous verse, there's two types of devotional service. One is the way of regulative principles and the other is the way of complete, total, you're in love with Krishna. So we're talking about the stepping stone underneath regulative principles. So as Priya mentioned, at least cultivate knowledge because that'll lead you to this, which will lead you to that, which will lead you ultimately to meditation, which will lead you to Krishna.
Wow.
Yeah. And it there's an interesting part that connects it back to the fact that we're still in a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna.
Ah.
And it says, it is to be understood that the indirect process is not recommended for Arjuna because he is already at the stage of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord.
So he's not going to go back down the ladder.
Yeah.
He's not encouraged to.
He's not encouraged to because he's already there.
Shalmi, how would you explain this? And I'm going to give you some time because I want to say something else, but like, how would you explain this to your eighth graders? These five verses, right? That we talked about. But before we get to that, I want to talk about one other thing. I love that there's so many other spiritual paths out there that are so absolute and so extreme in their belief, right? It's like, believe in this God, otherwise you are damned to hell. Mm-hmm. Right. And I love that. There's no notion of that here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Krishna is like, it's okay. If you're not at this level, that's okay. Then do this. And it's okay. And he just like, there's less and less effort at all of these levels, which I absolutely adore. Right. There's no like extremes or like damnation or like, just like you are going to be sentenced to this if you can't do this.
Yeah.
This is like such an empathetic and just like, just such a beautiful way to encourage someone to just be better, you know?
Yeah.
And that I love that. I love that so much. Anyways, are you ready? Okay, how would you explain these five verses to, let's say, a Christian eighth grader, right? Yeah.
I mean, I think, okay, I will answer, but I just think everything we've been saying is so relatable and so digestible for anybody. Mm. And this can apply, replace the word Krishna with God, and it's so applicable.
Yeah.
But I don't know, just, I would just summarize everything we've been saying to a kid, to an eighth grader, even some of the seventh graders who I think they are going to go on to become priests one day. They're so into it. I would just say, God loves us so, so much that he doesn't ever want to let anything come in the way of you connecting to him. So if you're able to just out of that spontaneous loving place in your heart, dedicate and give everything to God, wonderful. If you can't do that separately, there's another path that you can follow, certain activities that'll connect you to him. If you can't follow those activities, at least become a good person and donate to some good cause. If you don't have the resources to donate to a good cause, at least start thinking about stuff a little deeper than what am I going to eat for dinner and who am I going to take to the high school dance? Think a little bit. What are we even doing in this world? Because through that thinking, eventually God will know what's in your heart and he will guide you to come to him.
Ooh,
yes.
I'm slow clapping for you, Shelby. That was so good.
Thank you.
That was very beautiful.
Very lovely.
I mean, that's basically what also you guys have been saying.
No, I like it. Like I love, sometimes I say things like, Priya, Shamali, like explain this as if you were talking to an eighth 8-year-old. And like, it's mostly because I don't understand the concept myself.
No. You're being like Arjuna and doing pretending that for our benefit.
No. Sometimes actually during this podcast, you'll like read something and then both of you are like going back and forth, be like, then this means it. And I'm like, whoa, what are you guys talking about? But maybe you should explain it to an 8-year-old.
Jokes.
Ha 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 ha. So funny.
I think after reading all of this and hearing everything we've said so far, it does really make me feel like I'm so grateful, you know? I'm so sincerely grateful for having my Lord be someone so considerate and kind. I think like over time I've grown to understand human nature better. Yeah. And the different types of people. Oftentimes we have conflict when people are not like us.
Yeah.
Because we don't understand, or we have conflict when things are not what we expect them to be or whatever it is. And like Krishna's like, this is not what I want. This is not what I expect. What he wants is love, and we're not able to meet him there. Right. And I think about like my relationship with my siblings or my family or anyone. And it's just like the best, actually, even with gurus, like the relationships I've had that are the most loving are those that are so understanding of my capacity and my position. Like I've been so dumb in my past, made so many mistakes. And the people that I look up to still are the people that gave me so much grace. And they're just emulating what Krishna has. Like that's only, they're only showing me a portion of what the capacity that Krishna has to everyone, right? He's saying, no matter what position you're in, I'm here for you. And these are the steps to get out of the uncomfortable situation that you're in, right? Like what a compassionate, loving Lord. Like I'm so grateful to like read this and see that I can still reach him. Like this is actually very full of hope for me.
Oh, yeah.
So beautiful.
You nailed it, Priya. That was really nice.
What you just said, it made me think, you were saying Krishna's giving us the perfect example of how we should also be to the people in our own life and accept them for where they're at and just with endless love.
Yeah.
And that's hard sometimes when I'm sure we can all think of a certain somebody in our life that really pokes at us, but exactly what you're saying, what Krishna is doing, we can try to emulate that.
We're all trying to grow and we're all in different places. So it's just giving each other grace, giving each other love and like helping each other grow and like helping each other stay connected. So
could you imagine being in a marriage with someone and then they're like, hey, it's okay if you don't love me, just do this, this, and this, and this, this, right? Like there's so much compassion in that marriage. It's like, you can't give 100% to me, that's okay. Just give me what you can, right?
Yeah,
so
and that
much love
makes you want to step into your highest self because they're inspiring you rather than just like, do this, do that, and that makes you kind of reject it. Krishna is inspiring us with his divine, endless love.
What a graceful Lord. Ooh. All right, that ends this episode. Please join us next time for chapter 12, text number 13.
See you guys next time.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.